I will say, hand to God, when I saw those tweets from Shams about that, I almost unfollowed him on Twitter. This is the dumbest thing. When the first one, like a day ago, where he's like, the three of them will meet tomorrow. And I was like, cool, who cares?
Yeah,
I
that's
assume
not
they will
news.
meet.
That's totally normal. Like,
If you would ask me, Will, are Anthony Davis and his boss going to meet at any point? I would say, yeah, probably.
five, four, three, two, one, zero.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, the hottest basketball hot takes podcast, where it's just hot. It's just a good time. It's basketball. It's good, it's bad. It's finals. We've been studying. I'm Jared, your local Taco Tuesday fan.
I'm Joe, local sad boy.
And I'm Will, local hot weather not enjoyer.
Same.
It is so hot and it's just May, but that's where we get the hot takes from, man. They don't happen the same in the winter.
Yep.
But
Well,
for our loyal listeners, I know you come here every week expecting to get enlightened. You come in just for just one measly enlightenment take that'll open your feeble minds for the rest of the week. And we've got quite the deal for you this time. Instead of an enlightenment take, we are going to recommend an enlightenment seminar from our first unofficial sponsor, decided by me, the PHP 2019 conference. This will be happening July 29th to August 1st. It is, from what I can tell, an insurance company. But we felt we had to recommend it to our viewers just based off the incredible level of enlightenment of the five keynote speakers at this conference. Billy Beane, known from Moneyball, Patrick Bet David, who's apparently the CEO of this agency, Jordan Peterson, who, if you know who he is, yeah, if you don't, we don't need to go into it, Kobe Bryant, and George W. Bush.
oh man.
Mosaic of enlightenment happening at this
Wow,
conference.
this is the neckbeard conference?
This is the answer to a question I have been asking for years. We'll finally know who is the dumbest person in a room of George Bush, Kobe Bryant, and Jordan Peterson. And I cannot wait to find
They all win and lose.
Absolutely. I saw someone say earlier today that it's perfect because Kobe Bryant and Jordan Peterson are the same guy, basically, just in different spheres. And I think that's pretty spot on. And I would just also like to point out that the logo of this conference is the Autobots logo with PHP engraved on it. And underneath it says, transforming the industry since 2009.
Oh no.
So that there is so much more enlightenment in that convention than we could ever impart to you in the first couple minutes of our episode. So go forth and be enlightened.
I cannot stress enough how unofficial this sponsorship is.
Extremely unofficial.
Check better be in the mail, baby.
I'm expecting my galaxy brain tomorrow for this sponsorship. Well, what's up?
Nothing happened.
All Yeah, I
right.
suppose we should tell you why Joe is sad.
Yeah.
Do you have the piano music?
Yeah, I do.
Oh no.
Sorry, Joe, but it's been a while. Take us away.
Oh, Norman Powell was that good at basketball. What can I say? Toronto played great defense. It was a fun series to watch. It was pretty heartbreaking, games three through six. I'm over it. I'm ready to move on. I'm sad that all of Giannis's supporting players didn't make jump shots as much as they should have or could have. But Life goes on. I'm excited for the Raptors. It's a fun story. I will not be watching 1 second of the finals.
And that's Joe, man who just loves NBA basketball.
I am wearing a Vince Carter Raptors jersey right now, though, in solidarity for Vince Carter and no one else and no other team.
I've really been in conflicted since this happened because I feel terrible for Joe, my pod mate and the only Bucks fan who I hope finds happiness. but at the same time, I have just been ecstatic that my preseason and postseason finals pick of the Raptors made finals. And as long as they lose in 6 games, then I can claim to be a genius.
I think 6 games sounds good.
I'm curious if they win them, though, which ones they'll win. Like, I saw someone saying recently they thought Toronto would get the first two, and then the Warriors would backdoor sweep them like they just did to the Bucks. But that seems wild to me. Like, I can't even imagine the Raptors being up 2-0 on the Warriors in the finals. Like, the world would explode.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, I mean, Warriors are in a weird spot with no KD still. He's out for game 1 at least. Boogie's unlikely. But, you know, that being said, they've played quite well without KD and Boogie. But, you know, Raptors are a different team. And who's going to be the one to stop Kawhi? Or do they just live with Kawhi carrying the team and try to shut down everyone else?
Yeah, I think you definitely go the LeBron route and, like, go ahead, get yours. We'll guard the other guys.
Yeah.
And especially with Kawhi being a, like, significantly worse passer than LeBron. Mm-hmm. It's even less scary. Like, I think the part I'm really excited about is when the Warriors are on offense, because traditionally, like, Danny Green is about as good as you can hope for someone to guard Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put Kawhi on Draymond. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, like, it's hard to do much better than that pairing for that pick and roll. Of course, then you have to live with Klay Thompson just shooting right over top of Kyle Lowry. So maybe you switch those and let K-Lo guard Steph, who, and obviously Lowry's no slouch on defense, but man, like, what if the Raptors have got a really fun group of guys to try to defend the most difficult to defend team on the planet.
Yeah. And Klay's, they gotta watch out for Klay. He did not make the all NBA teams. Mm-hmm. And he sounds like he's a bit peeved about it.
First of all, I totally understand being mad because he just lost out on so much money from that. I would be furious. At the same time, the Warriors players have been killing me, being very, like, unhappy about snubs for regular season awards, where I don't even think the Warriors would pretend that they try during the regular season.
You're right.
I think Klay has deserved all NBA recognition in the past. I don't think he deserved it this year. But at the same time, like I said, he was close and he missed out on $30 million right there. So absolutely brutal. I'd be furious.
Yeah. His loss is Kemba Walker's gain.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm hoping, as a Warriors and heavy Klay Thompson fan, that we get some Klay games out of that.
That would be a blast for everybody. Okay. I've got one. Are this year's Raptors, by no means do I mean best team or do I think they're going to necessarily win the series, but are this year's Raptors the best defense the Warriors have faced since the dynasty started?
Probably.
Yeah. I think so. Like, it's definitely not any of the Cavs teams. The Rockets last year had a really impressive defense.
Yeah. They did last year.
To the point of these Raptors. I mean, the Raptors in the conference finals against the Bucks played perfect defense for pretty much all 6 games.
Well, the Raptors knew how to adjust.
Yeah. And they've got such an incredibly smart team. Like, not only do they have, like, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, and Marc Gasol, and Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry, like, guys who have great ability for this. That's a really smart lineup to put out there, especially on defense. Like, they make the right move a ridiculous amount of the time, which is a very enticing matchup against the Warriors offense that it's impossible to make the right move against. I'd assume anyone who listens to this already, like, reads Zach Lowe, but his piece, I think it was him, on the I'm pretty sure it was him on the just talking to the Blazers and the other playoff opponents of the Warriors about how impossible it is to defend them without Kevin Durant was a blast. They're like, you have no idea where any of them are going to be, and they just force you into making terrible decisions all the time, and you can't do it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, sure, they lost – Raptors lost those first two games to the Bucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, then they got the reverse sweep. But that series was, like, you know they scouted very well also.
Yeah, and I mean, those two losses were a Raptors offense problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the way. Their defense played great in those first couple losses. The Bucks, they couldn't find their half-court offense. And then when their backups, when their role players started hitting shots and Giannis's role players stopped hitting shots, like, all of a sudden, the Bucks couldn't find their half-court offense.
Well, the Bucks had a disappearance of Middleton.
For the most part,
He had, like, one good game.
Yeah, Bledsoe had one good game of the last four games, 3-6. Bledsoe had one good game. Middleton had one, maybe two good games. Lopez had a few good games, but Mirotić had zero good games.
Mirotić could probably, like, Giannis should be allowed to beat up Mirotić.
Yeah, he was pretty disappointing. That kind of stunk. And, I mean, credit to Bud for, like, by the second half of game five, he just literally benched him and he did not play in game six. Like, he went with Sterling Brown and he went with other guys that could, like, maybe do something because he was just ice cold.
Yeah, I could have used a little more DJ Wilson in that series. I thought it was kind of odd he just fell out of the rotation the way he did. And that happened during the season, not necessarily in the playoffs.
Right. Ilyasova played well in the playoffs, I thought. Like, he wasn't amazing or anything, but he filled his role well. Brogdon had three good games. I think it was game five he really stunk. But, I mean, I don't know. Just it wasn't enough support for Giannis. And like, Giannis wasn't perfect either. He had a lot of turnovers. He was – and I think part of it was that nobody else was hitting much, so he was trying to force it and trying to
do
much. I saw a lot of
hero ball. He also missed a lot of free throws, which maybe cost us at least one game.
Yeah, definitely.
His free throw percentage, but yeah,
I've seen some interesting takes. I think they're decently hot about Bud since the series ended, where it's calling him, like, there's been a lot of discussion recently after Bob Myers did that talk of, like, and Draymond talked about, like, an 82 game player versus a 16 game player, like, their regular season guys and their playoff guys, and it's fair that those are very different. Like, I think Draymond's big point, and if you haven't heard Draymond talk about it or Bob Myers talk about it, listen, because it's awesome. But it's like, hey, in the regular season, if you're great at shooting and, like, not much else, you'll be a pretty solid player for the whole regular season. But in the playoffs, they'll take the shooting away and you have to be able to do a lot of things. And it's a really interesting talking to, like, hey, all of these guys who are super useful for the entire regular season aren't useful in the playoffs because essentially they get scouted more and teams focus more, I think is the biggest gist of it. So you have to be able to do a lot of different things. Which is why, like, I think Al Horford has really shined in the playoffs and why Draymond shines in the playoffs.
And why Giannis and maybe James Harden and maybe some others don't necessarily.
Right.
Well, it's funny. I think on their part, it's more that some of their supporting guys are 82-game players, not necessarily.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't want to – I think they're too good to fall into that.
Right. That would be the upper echelon of that type of player, but yeah.
For sure. I think they're getting more surrounded where it's like – all of a sudden their supporting cast has to do a lot that they're not capable of. But yeah, obviously these guys are Giannis ran into a couple issues as well, but this is a long way of getting to the point of, there were some takes about essentially is Bud an 82 game coach versus like is easily a 16 game coach. And I've been thinking about it some, and anyone who knows me knows I love Bud's Hawks teams. That 61 Hawks team is one of my favorite teams. That's not my own ever. And I hold that they got obliterated by the Cavs in the playoffs just because they were too injured by that point. But I think it was an interesting question. I'd be curious to hear your takes. I think there's some credence to it. I also think that he might look that way because he's taking teams that aren't quite as good as we think they are and making them look that good in the regular season. And that doesn't make him a regular season coach. It just means he's getting teams to overachieve, and then they come to where they are in the playoffs. And this is also a big overreaction after a very small sample size.
Yeah, I mean, my split reaction is like the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, game four, was that the one that went to double overtime? Like, that came down to one guy not hitting a shot, you know, like that went to double OT, could have gone either way. Several of the other games, I think there was one kind of blowout loss, but all the others were single digit losses. Like, they talked to Bud a lot, like media would interview him and they would ask him like, what are you going to switch things up? Like, you're down, you know, it's tied 2-2 or you're down 3-2. Like, are you doing drastic changes? Like, are you switching around all the lineups? And he was basically like, we're kind of have to stay the course and just hope guys start hitting their shots, was like basically what he said.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fair. Like, it was working well enough that if guys start hitting shots like they've hit all season, it'll work out. But it never happened and never materialized. And also, like, Kawhi played out of his mind. You know, Norman Powell played amazing. Fred Van Vliet found his shot again. Marc Gasol had a couple of great games. Kyle Lowry had amazing shooting games the whole series. Like, the Raptors definitely did enough and had a great, great defense. But I think, you know, a few shots here and there, it could have been a totally different outcome.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, credit to the Raptors. If you made it to the finals, you're good enough to be in the finals. You earned it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, they're a great team.
But, like, yeah, there were definitely issues with the Bucks, and I'm not sure how much of that is on Bud, maybe a little, but what I saw, like, a big issue to me watching was there was too much hero ball. There's too much trying to force the shot. Like, I felt like they weren't sticking to a true, like, play calling game plan. They were just like,
yeah,
oh, I'll rush the shot. Oh, I need to shoot it right now. Or, like, Giannis just really trying to force it in and it not working. And then, like, and then with the whole, like, you know, you need more than just one thing in the playoffs. And I love Giannis, and he's the future. But right now, if he can't make free throws and he's trying to force it inside, then what? Then what?
Yeah, there were definitely times during this series where I felt like guys were, like, shooting just because they have to get their shots during the game or something. Like, that was the feeling I got of, like, it was like a transition three, or, like, dribble around and then pull up from a deep two. Like, we need to run an offense rather than just, like, yeah, like you said, play hero ball.
And of course, then it kind of sucks at the same time, though, because the other team wasn't running that much of an offense.
Right. Kawhi was doing a lot of the same thing, and his shots just always went down.
And like, that's tough with sports. Like, sports are so results based, and I struggle with it sometimes. Like you said, if you got, even if you got straight up swept in a series, and every game was like a 1-point loss in overtime, like, how much better is the other team than you?
Right.
It has to mean something, but exactly how much? So it's tough. But yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, next year is a really big year for the Bucks. I wish it wasn't as big as it probably is going to be, because, like, they just got here, so it stinks that it's already, like, referendums on them. But it's going to be a very big year.
Yeah, this whole next, like, literal, like, 12 months is going to be huge, because this off season we have Middleton's a free agent, Brogdon's a restricted free agent. We just re-signed Bledsoe during the season to a 4-year deal. That's a pretty decent price. I mean, a lot of people were saying after the playoffs, like, oh, that contract looks pretty terrible now. But, like, no, that's a great contract for him. Lopez is a free agent. George Hill is a free agent. Mirotić is a free agent. Like, all these guys that we signed preseason, or, you know, our big name players not named Giannis are all, like, you know, have to be negotiated now.
Yeah. So, I do need Bled to just I know it's not this simple, but, man, just take a million threes this summer, man. Like,
yeah.
That is if he could hit them at all, it would have been such a game changer. And it was just, I understand the way I choose to look at it is, yeah, why would he have worked on that while he was in Phoenix? He was in freaking Phoenix. But you're in a good spot now, so just take the whole summer and work on that.
Joe, I'm curious to know, because I was talking to a friend of the show, Donald, the other day, who, you know, he's on about a month ago, big Bucks fan. He was saying that he felt this season, he said this before they lost to the Raptors. He said that win or lose in the conference finals, he views it, the season as a success in a way. Because Bucks are a fairly inexperienced team as far as playoffs, and they made it really far. But thinking about how crazy the summer could be, does that like affect how you feel of if the season's a success or not?
No, I think it was a successful season. I think if we would have lost before the Eastern Conference Finals, like if we would have lost to the Celtics, I would have said it was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But Toronto's a great team. Losing to them is, you know, it's a bummer, obviously. But like, I do not feel like, oh, there, you know, there goes our chance. Like, all for nothing. I do think getting experience in the playoffs matters, and like was alluded to earlier, like it's a totally different season, and all of the guys on our team, I think, besides like Pau Gasol, don't have any experience beyond like the first round of the playoffs. So maybe probably a few have second round, but anyway, like nobody had a deep playoff run under their belt. So I think that does make a difference, and it, you know, it goes to show what kind of players we want to have on our team continuing on. Like we can't keep everybody unless they all just take massive pay cuts, but like that's never going to happen. So
I like Giannis saying like, I want the same team. Like, buddy, that's not going to happen.
He also said he wanted Jason Kidd back. So
yeah, Giannis like, is good, but Giannis you shouldn't be
loves
making
everybody and doesn't want anybody to leave. Yeah. And
Giannis, I think, can't be making decisions yet.
Yeah, go ahead, Will.
I love how the barometer of like success changes throughout the year. Like, what were the Bucks projected to be, like the 4 seed?
Yeah, like, top 4.
Obviously, like when you become this like dominant 1 seed, you want to make the finals. But if you start at the beginning of the year when it was like, all right, yeah, the Bucks will be the 3rd or 4th best team in the East, hopefully, and then you tell a Bucks fan then like, yeah, you're going to win over 60 games and lose in a tough-fought Eastern Conference Finals. It'd be like, hell yeah, sounds good. I really think, like, every East team, all the top 3 East teams should feel pretty good about the seasons they just had. Philly went toe-to-toe with the Eastern Conference champion. Toronto's in the finals. And the Bucks, like you said, with no playoff experience under their belt, had a really tough series against the Eastern Conference champion in the Eastern Conference Finals.
You could even go lower than that. Skip the Celtics and go down to the Nets, who were projected to win like 30 games.
I think Pacers and Nets should both feel good. I think really out of the top teams, it's really just the Celtics should feel bad and need to do a lot of soul searching. But those top 3 above them need to figure out just how to replicate what they were doing this year and get a little bit better.
True. Yeah, it's like East is solid. It's going to be exciting next season.
That's my long way of saying, like, I understand the pain of losing and expectations can change, but I would absolutely say that was a successful season for the Bucks. They were awesome.
For sure. I agree.
I did see a take I liked a lot about the finals themselves. I don't know if it makes any sense at all, but it was a fun take where some prominent basketball Twitter people were talking about the chance of the finals, and I believe it was HP Basketball who said he really got a vibe from this year's finals of 2004 Pistons Lakers. Mm-hmm. And he didn't write an article on it, so I couldn't dive in to see like really what his thinking was there. But when I read it, all I could think was, as in like one team's a dynasty and the other team is not,
right?
Because I don't know if I see any other similarities.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
Like
the Pistons, the Pistons in that era were built on their defense, and like maybe that's the thought, is like Toronto is the Pistons and they have the toughest defense that the Warriors are going to face, and the Lakers at the time had this dominant offense of Kobe, Shaq, and whoever supporting player. I don't know. That would be the closest I could even come up with off the
You know what's interesting about these finals for the Raptors is that like they have to know they're not getting back next year if and when Kawhi is not there.
Right. What are the chances Kawhi stays after this? Win or lose in the finals?
Did you see there's like a Snapchat video or something of I think Kawhi's sister celebrating, and you hear someone in the background in his family like, "Oh, they know damn well he's not gonna be there next year."
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty like 50-50 on it. Like
yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling too. Like Toronto is doing all they can to like show that they want him and want to keep him there, and like as far as the front office bringing guys in to go on this run, and like the fans showing their if he leaves just because he prefers LA and it was never going to change.
Yeah, like he's in pretty much the best possible scenario. So it's just I want like his reason for living, like you said, is just I want to live in LA. If that happens, so what? But I don't think that's a slam dunk by any means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they got the man to the finals in his first year there.
Yeah.
What else can you ask for?
Great GM, like everything has gone pretty right. They let him rest for like 20 games in the regular season, so he could do this now. Like he'd probably like to have a little more help in the playoffs, but he's in the finals.
Yeah.
The thing that really gets me about the like 0-4 Pistons take though is the 0-4 Pistons dominated the Lakers. They didn't like upset them. They destroyed them. I don't think anyone, even people who are picking the Raptors, think that's going to happen. Like, if you're picking the Raptors, you're not thinking they're going to come out and just murder the Warriors in four games and just clearly be the better basketball team.
I mean, I hope not.
I could buy into a world where they upset them. Yeah. I don't think it would happen, but I could buy into it. I cannot, and maybe it'll be the wildest summer ever if I'm proved wrong, if this take ages poorly. I do not see any world in which they go out there and dominate the Golden State. And you like leave the finals going, wow, the Raptors were just by far the best team in the NBA.
Right, like for that to happen, it's more Warriors get more injury trouble.
Yeah, like
lose like Steph or Klay or Draymond.
Or they could like really muck it up. Kawhi can do his best LeBron, and him and Kyle Lowry can do their best like semi-LeBron impersonation where they slow the game down to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them like squeaking out an upset if everything goes right and they play perfect. But unless like three Warriors go down, I don't see the scenario where they dominate them.
Right. I think it'll be a fun series, though. I don't see a sweep either way.
Yeah, no, I think this is – it would be – there's no failure of a season now for the Raptors. Like, everything's gone. Like, they succeeded. Mm-hmm. But, boy, would a sweep be a depressing way to end it.
Yeah. But man, I'm really hoping that – see, Game 6 would be in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's where the Warriors win the series. Because – win it at your last game ever at Oracle.
That would be cool.
I would like that.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I'll say it. I would.
I'd personally be a fan of this one particular scenario in which my team wins a championship.
Again.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The hottest takes right here on Full Court
Mess.
Right
here. Let's get into some other news.
Rob Pelinka is absolutely fooling out right now.
Yes.
Let's apologize to all of our listeners real quick because we just talked about actual basketball for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was very off-brand.
Let's get into some non-basketball.
Yeah.
Let's get in on some nonsense. Let's
get in on some crazy. Rob Pelinka, like Joe said, that man's fooling out. That man's crazy. I don't know how to start with this.
I really like just saying... Someone asked what's going on with Rob Pelinka, and I wanted to type it out in one sentence when they asked to make it sound as crazy as possible. Like, hey, if you summarize this in one sentence, what's the craziest it can sound?
Mm-hmm.
And I really like just going with that, where you say, Rob Pelinka lied about setting up a meeting between Kobe and a dead Heath Ledger at a Dwayne Johnson genius talk.
And yet, we can watch that on video. It is like real and online. There's
so much.
ESPN wrote an article about pretty much the failure of the Lakers reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I recommend checking it out. It's good work, good writing. It's definitely fascinating, and it's fun if you don't like the Lakers. It's also fun if you like disaster stories. And yeah, they touched on Pelinka's what they called his penchant for storytelling. If you don't mind, I can read what he said about the Kobe Dark Knight meeting.
Please do.
So this is when Lakers do, you know, a lot of teams do this. They hold player meetings, kind of to like, they'll bring in a celebrity or something, you know, give them a talk, hype them up, life lessons, stuff like that. Nothing too irregular. They brought Dwayne The Rock Johnson in, giving a talk. And then Pelinka decided he had a story to share. He says, "There was one time when Kobe, who I worked for with 18 years, was was going back to play in Madison Square Garden, and he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with a dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. So he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for role. And Kobe used some of that in his game against the Knicks." So the thing with this story is that Heath Ledger died 6 months before The Dark Knight came out. So Kobe, who Pelinka worked with for 18 years, met with a ghost.
It's so perfect on every level. One, it's the easiest to disprove lie of all time, because we can just go, wait, that guy wasn't living. Two, I don't know why he's telling it to the team. I don't know what the team is supposed to take away from this story, what the message really is here. Three, I really feel like Kobe wasted those lessons from Heath Ledger by using them against the Knicks. Surely he could have just beaten the Knicks without the Joker's guidance.
Yeah, I hope so.
We are speaking literally of the Joker here, not Nikola Jokic, just to be clear.
Right, right.
I choose to call Nikola Jokic by his better nickname, Big Honey.
That is a better nickname, and I didn't know that was one of his nicknames.
We're learning lots of things today.
I feel truly enlightened.
Well, what was the one you shared of Pelinka talking about being in every meeting?
So one of the problems brought up by that report about the Lakers is that Pelinka goes to every meeting, like all the players' meetings. He's at halftime every game, sitting in there. And all the players and Luke Walton, who was then the coach, are talking about how, like, hey, that's not a good environment for us. Like, no one can say anything. No one feels like they can be honest, because the guy that decides all of our futures is in the room. So, like, imagine, like, trying to have a player's meeting where you air grievances about how bad the season's going, and your boss is just watching you the whole time. So Luke Walton goes to Rob Pelinka and says, hey, can you stop? Like, Bob Myers never did that when I was in Golden State. And Pelinka tells Luke Walton, actually, I keep in constant contact with Bob Myers, and he started doing it. And then Luke just goes, like, okay, leaves, texts Bob Myers, and Bob Myers goes, no, I never do that. What? So again, just right in the theme of, he only tells, like, the lies that can be disproved in seconds after he's told them, which is just so much more fun.
It rules, actually.
He's like actively a compulsive liar, and it's awesome.
It's exactly who you want to be steering your franchise.
All I can think when I read through that whole Lakers piece is I feel like it's very full court mess to only reference Game of Thrones after it's ended. But to reference it, chaos is a ladder, and everyone on the Lakers is afraid of heights.
See, I have no idea what this means, but this being a fact-free podcast, I agree.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was there a throne game going on?
Yeah, it was on at the same time as the Sports Bowl.
I was too busy watching the Sport Ball game.
Oh, no. Let's see, what else? What else we got? You guys hear that the Clippers, Mark Stein reported the Clippers have looked into what they call the seemingly impossible task of buying the rights to Kawhi's claw logo, which Nike still owns.
Mm-hmm.
so that in an effort to get Kawhi over there, they say, hey, we'll give you the rights back to your own logo.
That seems like a sort of hostage situation.
It's definitely not legal.
And like we said before, anyway, like, if Kawhi leaves, it's because he wants to be in LA. Like, I don't think he needs any convincing from anyone else.
Well, I do give you your logo.
I saw a great take from a Lakers fan a couple of days ago where he was saying that, I thought the Clippers were supposed to be the favorites to land Kawhi. I thought they, like, had a great relationship with him. Then why are they scouting him at the Eastern Conference Finals? It's like whole point was that
checkmate, losers.
If you were the favorite and you had a good relationship, then you wouldn't need to scout him. And I was just like, what? First of all, in any case of recruiting someone, and this is from a strictly like college recruiting standpoint, but showing up helps. Being at people's games and showing you care is generally a big plus. Everyone does it. Second, even if it was just to scout his game, they don't need to find out if he's good enough, but it's probably useful to say, like, hey, here's how these players worked around him, and here's what worked in a playoff setting with Kawhi. But first and foremost, you go to his games to show him you're interested and show him you'll put forth the effort.
I would like to dispute that everyone does it because the Bulls drafted Lauri Markkanen sight unseen. And that actually has worked out okay.
Even better than drafting him sight unseen, they drafted him because the Timberwolves were mocked to take him at that slot before they traded the pick. That's beautiful. They drafted him because people thought a different team should take him at 7th overall, and they were just like, oh, well, now we're 7th overall, so I guess we should.
He must be good if another team thinks he's good.
I'm sure we have the same needs.
Here, all I'm saying is that, if you love your son so much and you keep telling me he's so good at basketball, why do you keep having to go watch his games? Don't you already know he's good?
Aren't you? If you're so convinced he's going to come home after each game, then why are you there?
Do you not trust his game? Is that it?
You would let a stranger give him a ride if you were confident he'd make it back.
That's all I'm saying. That's just how it is.
Something to think about.
Really makes you think.
I do put some credence in the theory that Kawhi is coming back, and we know it because he let Serge Ibaka feed him cow penis. Like, I legit put a little bit of stock in that. I'm like, man, if I knew if I wasn't coming back, then I absolutely would not have eaten the cow dick. But he ate it, so he must at least be considering returning.
You don't think he resents him for that?
I was at the time it started. He had to have been considering returning, else there's just no way.
Okay. Well, speaking of gross Raptor stuff, apparently Drake was warned to settle down during the Eastern Conference Finals. You hear about this guy, Drake?
I really thought after Game 5 when Drake into like a TV interview was like, the Raptors are going to the finals. I thought that was the ultimate curse. Like, the Bucks were just going to win by 50 for the rest of the entire playoffs. I was really putting a lot of stock in that. But
it'll probably just manifest in the finals. They'll get swept by 200 points over the course of 4 games. And then it'll be like, there you go.
Kawhi will leave the team before the finals are over.
Before the finals start. He sits out 4 games for load management and they get swept.
You know that Drake has warrior tattoos?
Yeah, he's got a Durant and a Curry tattoo.
He wins no matter what. You can try to own him, but he'll die by just rooting for the winning team. So just, sucks.
No one can own him more than he's owned himself for talking about taking half a Xanax on a plane. Like, it's hard.
Wait, I dispute that a little bit, the no one can own him more part, because today is the 1-year anniversary of Pusha's diss track.
Okay. I stand corrected. You're right. You're right.
I would also, just while we're here, finals predictions. I'm sticking with Warriors in six, because my whole thing forever was the Raptors will make the finals and win two games. Okay. So I'm going to stick with it and go Warriors in six.
I'm going in six, and that's also just because I want that to happen that way. It's quite poetic.
Nice.
Because I don't see a sweep.
Joe's prediction is that he will not follow them and won't know the result.
Yeah. So
I'll watch highlights. I'll watch highlights the next day.
Okay, don't worry. Sure.
I will go Warriors in five.
Okay.
Okay, okay.
So it's not poetic for Jared, but the Warriors are the better team. If I would have just been picking who I thought was going to win the finals in the beginning, I still would have picked the Warriors to beat the Bucks in the finals. That would have been my pick. But from the beginning, I said, if I'm going to pick the Bucks to make the finals, I might as well pick them to win it, because I don't want to be the guy that the Bucks fan that doesn't pick them to win it and then they do win it.
I hear that. So, I did also. I can't take too much credit for my Raptors finals take, because when I said it preseason, I really truly believed it, and I'm happy about that one. But when I doubled down on it after the season, I really only doubled down on it because I had already said it and they had a chance. I really believed, I believed the Bucks would do it, but I was like, I already said Raptors, I'll stick with them. So I can't take too much credit, but I'm happy with the preseason one, even though it didn't happen the way I thought it would. I thought the Celtics were the other good team.
I thought it would go Bucks Warriors, just because I don't know. I didn't expect the Raptors to be at the level that they were in the playoffs.
Well,
and I didn't expect Bledsoe and Middleton to stop playing basketball. We live in.
If you like combine Bledsoe and Middleton into one player, they'd be perfect.
Yeah,
because Chris could remember how to play defense in big moments, and if Bled could remember how to play offense, wow. Of course, I suppose the flip side is if you combine them into one player, there's a 50% chance that they are just horrendous and out of the league.
It's like it's Middleton. Middleton, but he doesn't want to be there.
You're like, it's Middleton, but he's just Bledsoe's height. Like, oh,
no.
That sucks.
So you guys see that the Rockets have made just about everyone up for trade?
And they fired every assistant coach.
Pretty much everyone's available, including CP3. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right. Who wants him?
If I were a team, I would take Chris Paul. But included in that deal, you would also have to give me cash considerations for $124 million.
I would take Chris Paul, but he would have to count against the cap on your team.
Yeah. He's 34 right now, $124 million left, playing his best basketball. And also apparently was having some issues with how the team was playing and was arguing with Harden during timeouts against the Warriors.
I think the Rockets are a fascinating experiment in like how long, when we touched on this a little bit before, but how long like the non-Harden players can play like that without just hating everything.
Yeah.
Like when you just admit the whole team's only about one guy and everyone else's job is to just play defense. Like, yeah. Boy, that's got to wear on everybody at some point.
Apparently, Chris Paul was also like saying he didn't feel Harden was like truly engaged on defense or something. Like he was playing like he didn't care. Something like that. Well,
yeah.
Has Chris Paul had a good departure from a team? Even just a neutral departure?
He's a bridge burner.
How did the time in New Orleans end? I did not follow NBA closely enough to like know what the mood was. I mean, I'm sure the whole fans weren't happy.
Didn't he like request a trade? Basically, like was like, I'm not going to re-sign here. So
I figure
basically how it went.
Then they tried trading him to the Lakers, and then that got like vetoed because the league owned the Hornets.
Right. So then he went to the Clippers.
Yeah, and that was fun for 2 years. The best thing Chris Paul's done for the league, and I do appreciate him for this, was give us that collaborative Jordan lengthy commercial thing with Blake Griffin. The CP3 BG TV in HD, which aired on Adult Swim.
Yep.
That was awesome. I enjoyed
Wasn't
that.
Jabari Parker a part of that too?
Yeah, he did a sketch where the kids didn't know who he was. Which aged, you could say that aged quite well or not well at all. Depends on how you view that. It was ahead
on
of
this topic. On this topic, I've got a couple tweets that I thought were really funny. So Shams tweeted earlier today, Davis, Paul, and Griffin met today in Los Angeles and had a respectful, productive sit-down. To clarify, this is Anthony Davis, his agent Rich Paul, and vice president of the Pelicans, David Griffin. Response tweet said, can't believe they finally made Big Baby retract his Lob City slander.
Oh.
Wow.
I really did think it was like Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, and Blake Griffin for some reason met today in Los Angeles, and I was really confused.
I will say, hand to God, when I saw those tweets from Shams about that, I almost unfollowed him on Twitter. This is the dumbest thing. When the first one, like a day ago, where he's like, the three of them will meet tomorrow. And I was like, cool, who cares?
Yeah,
I
assume that's not news. That's totally normal. Like,
if you would ask me, Will, are Anthony Davis and his boss going to meet at any point? I would say, yeah, probably. So I wasn't really all that interested. And then it finishes and he's like, what was his tweet? He was like, it was very productive.
Yeah.
It was like respectful and very productive, but Anthony Davis still wants to be traded. And I said, so nothing changed.
Very yeah. productive.
Thanks, Sam. I was like, NBA news is so damn stupid. No, come on. There's got to be something better to report on than that. No one. Unfortunately, a lot of people cares. But it care. But in my little special world, no one cares.
And he managed to make it into a quite lengthy tweet, too.
It's like, good heavens. It was like very reminiscent of like when news comes out and it gets emailed out to reporters and just every reporter tweets a screenshot of the email they got of the press release.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, come on, y'all. We've all seen it. I'm convinced you have sources. You're important. Just be quiet.
Hey, y'all get paid for this? I screenshot things all the time. I don't get paid.
Yeah, that was it's funny. I didn't know you were going to bring that up, Joe, but that really raised my ire while I was slacking off at work and reading Shams. I was like, that's it, Shams. The day you've dreaded has finally come. I'm considering unfollowing you.
Following NBA news reporters? Couldn't be me.
Also, I have been thinking a ton over the past few days just how upset I am that the Wizards did not hire David Griffin, who is very clearly great at his job. But that's the Wizards portion of the podcast today, folks. 15 seconds long.
That's also not news. That's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freezing cold take from Will.
The Wizards
My favorite
did not make
should have
good
hired
move.
A guy who was good.
It was because he had that really good quote recently about like tanking versus championship contenders. And he was talking about the little steps you need to take and the little wins you have to make to become a good team. And it's not about just tanking. And I was like, oh, wow, a reasonable person in an NBA front office. I wonder who's in my front office. No one. We haven't hired anybody in the drafts in like a week and a half or something.
I feel like Wizards having no one is still better than who they had.
Yeah, although like his like right-hand man is just going to get the job. And I should like preface that with his right-hand man might be very good at the job. We don't know that. Like, Ernie was still making the decisions, and this guy might be very qualified, but, God, it's depressing. And also, they just can't hire anyone, so whatever. Sorry, I promised the Wizards portion was short, and y'all guys dragged me out.
Bring you right back in.
It's all right.
Glad to get out and bring you right back in. Should we move on to some lighter fare?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe you have some Raptors throwback.
Yeah, I found there was a fun thread of tweets that came across the timeline a couple days ago about the Raptors, and comes from Gil Meslin at G_MESLIN. I don't think he's an NBA authority at all. His bio says urban planner, social scientist, analyst, urbanist. I'm here to share my ideas and learn from yours.
Ew,
he worked at Urban Outfitters.
I'm here to share your ideas, Gil. So this is the segment of the podcast called the Retro Take, where we go back in time to find takes that have aged well and or not well. This is sort of a take, tangentially a take, and we'll get into that shortly. But I'll read through a couple of these tweets that he has in this thread. The year is 1994. Toronto has been awarded an NBA franchise. And the Star, meaning the Toronto Star newspaper, and CFRB 1010, a radio station, are running a Name the Team contest. And attached to the first tweet is a picture of the form. It has a large picture of a basketball on it, and underneath it says, "The Shape of Sports to Come." You could win one of 10 $500 gift certificates from The Bay. I don't know what The Bay is. It's some store or maybe restaurant. I have no idea. Anyway, so basically you write in your team name suggestion for Toronto's new NBA team, and there will be voting later on. And the list of team names is in the next tweet, and it is a beautiful, beautiful list. The tweet says, in April, after about a month, this list of names was posted, from which 10 were randomly selected for voting. Before we go on to the top 10, I do want to rifle through some of these names that were sent in by people, which I view as a sort of take that this is the right team name for the Toronto basketball NBA team.
This is a great list.
The list is amazing. We'll just go alphabetical order down the list. And when I see one that might pique our interest, I will rattle it off.
Okay.
First, the Athletics. The Toronto Athletics. Name was already taken by a baseball team, which isn't to say that no teams can have repeat names, but that seems like a pretty specific one to have a repeat in the major sports leagues.
I mean, that's already a silly name. I like the Athletics.
The Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, I like the Oakland Athletics the same way Will likes the Wizards. but like, yeah, I'd hope they're athletic.
Will, any thoughts on the Athletics?
I'll save my thoughts for one that I have stronger opinions on.
Okay. Moving on. The Beagles.
Okay.
A very not threatening dog.
Yeah.
The Beavers.
Just, come on, you can't do that.
Nah.
The Bees.
I assume the Hornets didn't exist at this point.
They certainly did. This is 1994.
That's awesome.
Actually. Not a fan, not a fan.
We're like the slightly more generic version of you.
Then we get a series with the word blue in the front. There are four name suggestions that start with blue. We have the Blue Flames, the Blue Devils, the Blue Eagles, and the Blue Basketballs.
Absolutely that one.
Yep. I don't know. That's nothing wrong with that. That's the one.
I especially don't know how it didn't win when they said that like voting was like higher weight was given to people who were under 18 in the voting process. Like, come on. 1994 must have been a different time to be a teenager. I just don't understand it.
We've got the Bucketeers, which I think might be a pun using like the basketball bucket term and like musketeers.
I don't like Bucketeers. This one. Nah, I don't like this one. No puns.
I like it. It's great.
We have the Canadian A's, as in Canadian and then E-H apostrophe S.
I thought they were going back to the Athletics thing, and I was like, there's just a lot of Oakland fans in Toronto.
We've got the Dons, which is the only name on this list that is in quotation marks, and I don't know why.
I love the Dons.
They absolutely should have been the Dons.
The Toronto Dons would have been cool, yeah. We've got the Domers.
Hell yeah.
What about the Domers, and it's just for the fellas, y'all feel me?
This is a man's league.
The Dribblers.
Straight to the point. I like it.
We've got a lot of winter-themed names throughout the list as well. Blizzard, Freeze, Frost, Flurry.
The Flurry. Actually, never mind. That is cool. I was going to laugh. I was like, the wimpiest snowstorm. But, like, Flurry has other meanings. That would be a pretty good
cool name. Flurry would have been cool.
It's not too bad.
Like, speed theme. That's fun.
We've got the Great Lakers.
They either wanted to be the worst version of the Hornets or the better version of the Lakers.
I think that'd be just a wonderful power move to name your team that.
I'm thinking about the Wizards rebranding as the Washington Better Warriors.
You know, what makes the Great Lakers even better, like, yeah, it's a better version of the Lakers, but the Lakers are named after the Great Lakes.
Yes, they are.
It's just a more it's specific the same.
You had to clarify.
It's like they go for Hornets, but they just pick like the scientific name of a Hornet.
The local, the still local Hornets.
The Washington Gandalf the Grays.
Okay, that'd be a good name. We've got the Hogs.
Yeah. Woo!
That's what I'm talking about.
We've got the Hoopers as well as the Hoops.
Hoops.
There it is.
They were like, hey, the New Jersey Nets is a great name. We'll be the Hoops.
The better Hoops.
We've got the Hustlers. The JCs, which I think is the verbal word for the next one, which is the John Candy.
Interesting.
Famous Canadian John Candy, but John Candy is also a synonym for urinal cakes. So I don't know that this would have done well.
Suddenly it's really good.
How badass would it be to be the Toronto Jesus Christs?
No, Jesus Christ, singular. John Candy is singular on here.
Together we only one Jesus Christ. And like they're like, all right, we're not even going to play against y'all. That's scary.
We've got the Cool Cats with two Ks.
Nice.
We've got is the Metro a thing in Toronto? I'm sorry to our Canadian listeners.
I think actually I just recently saw that their metro system is pretty minimal, and they want it to be expanded.
Okay. Well, there's the Metros, and then the Metro Knights, and then the Metro Maroons.
Okay.
I should preface that my Metro knowledge was based off of one tweet I saw from a supposed Canadian.
It's a fact-free podcast.
Yeah, it comes with just as much information as backs up all of my other takes on the podcast. So. Yeah.
The Mighty Dunks.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. We've got the Oarsmen.
I like it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I'm not sure how it plays on the court, but I like it. I'm
sure you could get a pretty cool like mascot out of that.
I think instead of the Mighty Dunks, they should have been the Ha Ha Fatality Slams.
Great callback. We've got the Saurus Rex. As in the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Okay.
I've never heard someone abbreviate T-Rex and not use the T.
I think you'd have to say the city and team name all together every time you had that T.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm stupid. I didn't get that.
Really, really quickly, I see that you've scanned over the Toronto Riot, which I think is great considering how mad hockey fans get up there.
I did scan over the Toronto Riot. That is a good one also. We've got the Shredders.
I'm just assuming they're big like Ninja Turtle fans.
Yeah, that exactly.
No Ninja Turtle team name suggestion though.
They just
surprise.
The Turtles are too mainstream. We're more Master Shredder guys up here.
Several sky themed names. We've got the Sky Hawks, the Sky Hooks, the Sky Jammers, the Sky Larks, the Sky Liners, Skyscrapers, Sky Toppers, and Sky Walkers.
I don't love all those names, but more teams should be sky and or water based because it leads to very pleasing designs and color schemes.
Oh, absolutely.
True. We've got the slam, the slam jammers, or the slammers.
No, no. No, no, no. None of that.
We've got the stormtroopers.
Man, they love the pop culture at this time.
The tall boys.
Yeah.
I am all for the tall boys.
Yeah.
The Toronto tall boys. Oh, man. That would have been absolutely in my, like, top three. The Technotronics. Really 90s themed there.
Absolutely not.
We've got the Thunderbirds, Thunderbolts, and Thunder Ducks.
This is a great time just to mention how impossible it is that the OKC Thunder had such a terrible design with something as cool as like Lightning and Thunder being their inspiration.
Yeah.
It's true. Thunder was also on the list. I scanned right over it. So, foreshadowing there. The Whiskey Jacks.
I'll allow it.
I think that about taps us out here. Of the Wizard is on there.
Wow, that's fucked up.
It'd be really funny to have the Toronto Wizard and the Washington Wizards.
It's like we have more. Like,
no, no, they're different.
And the singular team is far better.
Yeah, we're just like a bunch of small shitty wizards.
You're like the wizard school, and then they graduate, and then they go off to the wizard.
They graduate, but they didn't learn anything, and the school made them worse.
Sometimes it do be like that.
Amen. That's our commentary on the state of public schools in America.
Yep.
So we had Gil gives us some commentary on Saurus Rex and Blue Basketballs specifically, saying that both of those were interesting suggestions. But the top 10 is revealed in the fifth tweet in the thread. And here were the top 10 choices that fans got to choose from. The Beavers, the Bobcats, the Dragons, the Grizzlies, the Hogs, the Raptors, the Scorpions, the T-Rex, the Tarantulas, and the Terriers.
I have a couple problems here. The Grizzlies could be in Canada.
Just imagine.
If the Toronto had picked the Grizzlies and also the Memphis Grizzlies were still in Vancouver, then there would be two NBA teams in Canada, both named the Grizzlies.
Wow. Really makes you think.
Think about that.
So I have a problem. Do they have Scorpions up in Toronto?
Absolutely not.
There's so no what chance. Why? What is it doing on this list?
Well, do they have dinosaurs?
Technically, yes.
Chickens are the closest relatives to dinosaurs.
Did they not have fossils up there?
I do not want to give them more credit than they deserve for picking a name based on a movie.
That's okay. But
It's true. There's a tweet in the thread that says Spielberg's Jurassic Park had been released the previous summer and dinosaurs were a thing.
Scorpions? Also... Tarantulas? Why would you want to name your team after spiders? That's fucked up.
Everyone's scared of them, man.
Why would you want to see that mascot at every game? I don't think so.
I would like to
point out... Richmond University is shaking in its boots right now at this take.
I'd like to point out that Dragons was also one of the five finalists for the Wizards name when they rebranded. So that Dragons is really good at getting to the end but not winning because it's a stupid name for a team.
You're right.
Going off that, rumor had it that NBA marketing officials preferred Dragons, but we know how things turned out.
The Raptors did not have the utterly classic name that was a finalist for the Wizards name, the Sea Dogs.
Ooh.
So, big miss out on their part. They could have been the Toronto Sea Dogs.
Okay, hold on. Again. Y'all got the sea out there?
They're close to the coast.
Within city limits? Within county limits?
I can check where exactly DC ends. I don't feel like I believe it touches the water.
I have doubts.
I mean, they're right on the Potomac, which of course leads into the Bay.
I guess I could get to Washington.
I've been exploring this thread a bit further, and they ran a poll, a Gallup Canada ran a survey on the top 10 name choices, and the most preferred of the top 10 finalists was Beavers. The survey, however, was based on interviews with respondents 18 years old or older. The actual voting process was geared towards those under 18. Only they were eligible for prizes, and their ballots were more heavily weighted. Thus, Raptors and Dragons were the top two.
Yeah, what the hell, man? We would never do that. If my group of teenagers got the chance, Dragons would definitely not have been in the top two. We would have picked the horniest name on the list and
Domers.
We would have been all over. It would have been blue basketballs, Domers, Beavers, anything. Hogs, absolutely.
Hogs and Beavers are in the top 10. I mean,
now, not to make it seem like I'm making my generation seem good. Unfortunately, the actual winner would have been something about Hitler. So I recognize that there are like pros and cons here, but I still can't believe that the 15-year-olds of 1994 were like, Dragons? Yes, please.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, is the throne game happening right now?
Canada's crazy, man.
Maybe they should have been Drogons.
Ooh.
I think that's what one of the dragons was named in Game of Thrones.
I will 100% believe you.
I believe you. I have no idea, but...
Well, we're not here for facts.
That's true.
That's our retro take for the week, fellas.
That's a good one. Yep. That was fun.
I'd like to thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. I don't know why anyone would vote for tarantulas.
Oop.
But,
weirdly,
you know, do your thing. Do your thing. Well, I've got a thinker. Are we ready? Ready for the ending thinker?
Yeah.
This one's pretty simple. This is from... Serge Avili 13 on Twitter. We'll retweet it. Piece of news. Will Insanity go into the finals before Chris Paul? That's all, folks. Something to think about. Something to, if you don't like Chris Paul so much, maybe you like Linsanity more. Either way, it's fun. It can make you happy. And it'll remind you that we love you.
Thank you very much.